with Dermatol.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, you know, we go inside the Beltway to tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. Who better to talk with on this version of that than Bob Ney from Talk Radio News. Bob, the big buzz is over Obama's speech and what he had to say about the Israeli-Palestinian borders. Did you have to, like, take a deep breath and kind of step back when you heard that? He's talking for a return to the 67 borders? Are you kidding? What's that about?
I was in shock, frankly, Kate. He talked about the Egyptian portion, which is okay, and helping the democracies that are trying to come around in Yemen. Then he threw in going back to the 1967 borders. Now, this is on the heels of a visit, which is, you know, any time now, by Netanyahu, who was obviously upset about the statement. But a lot of people are speculating the president's trying to, you know, get something win on the whole process, and that there's maybe some trade-offs. Palestinians would have to stop the idea of a separate state, but it's a very controversial move, and frankly, something that absolutely was not expected today.
Yeah, I wonder what the reaction is going to be of Netanyahu. It's kind of like, as Romney said, throwing Israel under the bus. Do you think it's that harsh?
Well, Netanyahu, I have personally met with him in Israel when I was in Congress. Now, he's a tough guy. He's a hard player, and he's schooled to our Western ways. He went to high school here, actually, in America. He will, you know, obviously hold firm that this is unacceptable, but I think also behind the closed doors, he'll, you know, probably ask what leeway is there, not for the president to reverse himself, but to kind of soften the statement. So it's two high-powered people, frankly, that are going to be about to be firing that wall.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, we have a segment that we do. If all the things you could overhear, that would be absolutely, that would be a good one. No question about it. Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, speaking of being a fly on the wall, I don't care to hear any of these conversations because, frankly, they're going to go on for another 10 weeks. We're still dealing with the deficit ceiling and what's going to happen there. Really, isn't the deficit ceiling just going to get lifted or no? Or do you think there's going to be a line in the sand that's drawn over this?
No, I believe it's going to get lifted. Look, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, is trying to satisfy several masters. But on this one, you know, he's getting criticized because it's going to cost $3.2 billion to mechanically, you know, lift it and et cetera. I don't see any way that they can get around. This is not like halting the government. This is the complete bond, the debt ceiling, you know, the entire structure. You'll probably get some maybe guaranteed cuts through the process, but at the end of the day, this one's a cat and mouse that is way beyond shutting the government down, frankly.
Yeah,
so I think it will get lifted one way or the other.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, something that you were working on earlier in the day, the Lew filibuster for the Ninth District Circuit Court, that's huge by the GOP. What can you tell us about that?
It's breaking a recent modern tradition, frankly. 14 senators got together when George Bush was, said, look, at least everybody deserves some kind of, you know, up or down vote unless there's something really, really strange or extraordinary, and they've held to that for quite a few years. And it broke today. They just said, no, we're not going to have the up and down vote, and he goes away. So it kind of, I think, starts a war of sorts. And if down the road a Republican president gets in and the Senate's a different makeup, then they're going to have problems. But it's broke a tradition that's been out there for quite a while.
Yeah. How about this?
They just couldn't philosophically take him. The base was going absolutely insane, so they made a hardball move, Kate,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of hardball moves, the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, I like this guy. I mean, he cut through two administrations. He's stepping out. He's now been the Defense Secretary in the longest war. And he's now, this is what I don't like, though, now he's defending the Pakistani leaders because he thinks somebody knew about bin Laden. So I don't get it. You can't have it both ways. You either are defending them and saying, forget about it, leave it alone, or you're saying they knew something. What do you think?
Yeah, we're, you know, Kate, we're on the same wavelength. I read that today, and I thought, what a statement to make, actually. You know, well, he's defending the Pakistani leaders, but someone new, well, that's someone within a top rank. Look, at the end of the day, we're going to find out that it was in their secret, you know, police and within their secret service and within their structure, someone of a high authority, you know, had to be part of this ball game. And the way Gates said it today was the strangest thing I've ever seen. You know, well, I'm going to defend them, but someone knew. Sure, somebody knew.
Yeah, somebody.
If President Obama had tipped them off, I'll tell you, yeah, as you know, in 10 seconds, Bin Laden would have been in a cave somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, last one. The Senate sent messaging bills on oil, but then they got rid of them both. They checked them both. Where's the center of this thing?
Yeah, this is kind of sad. I don't know if there is a center. You know, they had a bill quote to the left and a bill to the right and messaged them, and it's a process. And they declined both, but at least if they would have accepted something, let's say they went with a bill to the left, they could have worked off of something. And now, I don't think anybody knows what the center is, but they better realize people are filling their tanks up, and they're filling it up with anger, not just their wallet. So I don't see this as a positive move whatsoever. They should have went with one of them. It's just started, at least.
Yeah. Bob Nate, Talk Radio News, former congressman, always a pleasure to have you on America
Tonight.
Nice thanks so
you,
much.
Kate.
Picking up on the theme of what Bob and I first started to talk about, a lot of people puzzled by the president's speech on the Middle East. He made really an official and maybe a long-held but rarely ever vocalized, you know, statement on U.S. policy on the future Palestinian state. He criticized both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis, for unmet expectations on an agreement. So there's a restless middle ground situation here. We're going to let you hear specifically some of the comments of the president's speech, some outtakes, I'll call them, a little bit later at the tail end of this hour on America Tonight. But coming up, a couple of interesting things. One, because we're always complaining about the price of gasoline, right? Tomorrow is Ride Your Bike to Work Day. How many of you could actually ride your bike to work, though? That's the problem. It's the thing that we keep talking about. If gas keeps going higher and you can't really carpool, how do you get to work and not kill your budget because it's dipping into too many people's budgets, right? So how do you do that? And this is a step in the right direction for some if they live close enough where they can jump on a bike, and a lot of companies now have bike racks out the kazoo and have showers set up, believe it or not, and sometimes in smaller areas. I'm sure some of you listening to me can relate to that. They may have that set up at your company. So we're going to talk to Bob Eichel, who's actually developed a plan in Texas that I think a lot of people doing a case study, I think a lot of people are probably going to look at. You have bike-friendly cities already, but there are so many others that are behind the curve, and even pedestrian walkways and whatnot. So we're going to dive into that. Also, because a lot of you are on the third shift, you get crazy, weird sleep in your lives. I know, I can relate. My pal Greg Stebbin is on to give you some really, really good tips, including if you have a snoring spouse. I'm going to give you a little preview. At least once or twice a week, you need to sleep in another room. Think that'll go over well? I'm not so sure. All that and more coming up next here on ATN.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula. and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Well, anyone who's listened to America Tonight knows that I'm all about the bicycle. I checked today. I wanted to make sure my count was right, but I have 7 bikes, all different kinds of bicycles. I mean, of course, a few of them are my husband's, and he's truly even more of a bigger bike nut than me. I even have a cruiser that I use just to kind of tool around the neighborhood. So I'm really jazzed about our next guest and what I found out that tomorrow is ride your bike to work. Can you ride your bike to work? How often do we talk about that here on ATN? And a lot of you have called in, sent pictures, all that kind of stuff. Is your city bike friendly? Bob Eichel tirelessly has worked on that in Dallas, the city where our mini studio, of course, is located. And he's getting some results. There are a lot of people that are bike nuts in the great state of Texas and in Dallas and its outlying areas. Like many of you know, in Madison, Wisconsin, where you're listening to us, you have great bike paths and trails and all that sort of stuff. Same thing to our friends listening to us in Washington, in Spokane, in Seattle especially and whatnot. And finally, something's being done about the city of Dallas, thanks in part to Bob Eichel, who has been, like I said, the guru of pushing this forward, talking about the Dallas bike plan. Hey, Bob, how'd you like that introduction?
I don't know what to say now.
I knew it. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have you at a loss for words. But seriously, you have been pushing for this for a very long time. And see, here on this show, we always talk about that, that there has to be a voice for something. If you have a passion about whatever it is, you just got to push. It's grassroots. You got to get out there. You got to dig. You got to find out what's going on. How long have you been working on this?
Well, I started in 05, late 05. And it started out as a kind of a local issue in our neighborhood. And quite frankly, it didn't start out to try to help cyclists. It was for pedestrians and cyclists and trying to take care of some of the traffic issues. But as I got more involved in it, I started to realize just how much cycling is going on in our neighborhood. And what started out as just a,
process trying to help our neighborhood, it turned into a real passion for this. And so we've been working on it, not only myself, but many other people. And it's amazing how many people have been involved in this and how much energy has been put into it these many years. And we're right on the cusp of having a Dallas bike plan, which will be passed in June.
And the idea is, too, you and I have talked a lot in these last couple of days about really Dallas, if all this stuff all falls into place down the line, this will be a tremendous case study for so many other cities across the United States, right?
Yes, and I must admit, we've hired some very good people. Our designers, the Tool Group out of Seattle, has been helping us put this plan together, along with our city staff, along with DART, along with TxDOT, citizens committees. A whole group of people have been working in concert to put this plan in place. And actually, Kate, we have built upon some of the best ideas from Minneapolis, Portland, older Seattle, and you've mentioned a few of these, many other cities. And so we have borrowed from what they have done, and hopefully, someone will do the same with what we've done.
Yeah, and this will resonate, I think, with so many of the listeners. Again, don't forget, if you can ride your bike to work, do it tomorrow, because across the nation it's ride your bike to work day. Well, what are some of the key benefits to it? Because you mentioned it's not just bike paths. I'm thinking bike in my head, but it's also pedestrian walkways that in some cases aren't there. What are some of the key benefits that people would get from that?
Well, I think there are several. Four that really come to mind. The first, obviously, is health. And we have a real problem with obesity in this country. You know, a third of our adults are overweight. And, it can also help lower carbon emissions. And, Dallas is ranked 58th in fitness walking, so we can do a lot better. So it's helping in the areas of health. Another one that I think it helps is obviously safety. So many cities who have great bike pathways and pedestrian pathways are reducing the number of crashes and pedestrian fatalities. You know, Texas ranks, from some of the stats I've seen, third in the country in pedestrian and bike fatalities. We don't have a bike plan and a really good pedestrian plan in Dallas. I don't think they have one in Houston and San Antonio. Austin is an exception. So it's all about trying to reduce some of the accidents that we have. And I think as many as 40-some thousand, in some cases 60,000 in some years, have died throughout the country for pedestrian bike fatalities. You know, another one I think is welfare. By building these complete streets, you're enhancing the neighborhoods, you're increasing land values and property values, you're increasing social interaction. And with more people on the bike trails and on these pathways, more eyes on the street, obviously enhanced security with, surveillance. With an aging society, someday they may take my car keys away from me, and having a bike to get to the shopping center or be able to walk is a good thing. So that's the welfare, and also enhancing the economies of a lot of these shopping centers, because we can increase the connectivity to these retail centers and other areas that people want to get to by pedestrian bike paths. We increase the commerce. So I think there's some arguments to be made for enhancing commerce. But one that I also think is very important is civil defense. If you remember Katrina, all the cars that were parked on the freeway trying to get out of New Orleans and ran out of gas. Having additional pathways in and out of a city, both for pedestrians and bikes, enhances civil defense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you and I talked off the air, that's the first light bulb thing that I thought of, and you mentioned it was absolutely, hands down, what a difference that would have made. Okay, let's get down to the meat of it. Again, for people listening, what do they need to do to make some of these things happen? Like, I have a friend that works for Bank of America, Bob, and Bank of America put in showers. They have bike racks. You can easily ride there, get dressed, no problem. I thought that was great, and he lives in Chicago.
Absolutely. I think it's going to take people getting involved. Getting your government involved is really big. Let's just take Dallas, for instance. We're updating a plan that started in 85. And so it's all these years later, we're updating a plan. And it took a lot of people, and especially our city council and others, to change some of our city staff and to really get behind this. So it takes activists, it takes people who think that this is very important to move on this from a governmental standpoint. Then you start looking at the private sector. And the private sector can do an awful lot in this area, too, like you're mentioning, with large shopping centers can put together a bike and pedestrian plan, and you want that connected to your neighborhoods. So it's working both in the public sector, the private sector, in concert.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Your example is great, too. And the public transportation, now that we're seeing in many cities, and I notice this in Seattle, I mean, you can ride your bike wherever, and you can also just plop that bike on whatever the local, I don't know what it is, but it's the local bus company that they have. It's easy to do that if you have to get from point A to point B, and I think that's a big one for a lot of people.
Huge. If you go to some of the great cities around the world, I think we all get excited about being able to take a transit system, be a pedestrian, get to where you need to be, and have this mobility. So what you're really putting your finger on is enhanced mobility. A person would be willing to walk a mile. We know that. Most people are willing to ride a bike. You know, they don't have to be road warriors to do that, about 3 miles. So if you were to take off of a station stop or even a bus stop and do a mile radius and a 3 mile radius, and if you put pathways for both the sidewalks for the pedestrians and the bike paths that link up to those radiuses, and you look at what kind of coverage you have in your area, you'll start to see a mobility plan. We did that in Dallas, and it was amazing how much coverage we already had. It's just connecting it.
Yeah. And that's the key. And especially with the population aging, I like some of what you had to say. Remember, they take away your keys. Imagine if you can still get there. I see lots of people walking. It's true. And I see lots of older people biking. They have three-wheelers. They've got big baskets on the back of their bike, and it's certainly possible. Hey, we have like a minute left, but again, I'm going to remind everyone, National Bike to Work Day. And in Dallas, if you're one of our Dallas listeners, at 10:30 a.m., the city of Dallas is holding a ribbon-cutting ceremony, right? And that's to do what?
Well, it's going to be opening up the Cottonwood Trail, and I would encourage everyone to be in their work clothes, I guess, and to take the DART or a bus to the location, or take your bikes to the location. And we're going to be at the Forest Lane station stop. If you can get there, not far from there, it will be the ribbon-cutting at 10:30.
How fun. That sounds like such a good time. And again, remember, everybody listening to Bob, he's so passionate about this. You can do this in your neck of the woods. Think of the health and the safety, the welfare, as he was mentioning, and civil defense. If you get in one of these situations with flooding, like we saw with Katrina, like we're seeing with the Mississippi River, although some of those channels were being opened up, still, you'd have a way to get out if you were in a catastrophic situation and if you knew a little bit ahead of time. That would be one way to get out and in, for them to get into you to help you with the rescue situation. Bob Eichel, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Our big story. Food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and of course all the nooks and crannies in between, where half of you are asleep for most of the day because you didn't get enough sleep and you're probably cranky. I know all about that. A lot of people listening to us have insomnia or they're third shifters and your life is kind of upside down. We love to have Greg Stebbins on this show. He's one of the editors of Men's Health magazine, among the zillion plates he has spinning around. And I'm sure he has trouble with sleep too. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm great. A little drowsy.
Of course you are. Of course you're drowsy. Let me ask you this. What is the normal amount of sleep you should really get? People are saying, like, I've read various things on this where they say, oh, you have to have at least 8 hours. Who is getting 8 hours sleep? I don't know anybody, from mothers who just have had young children at home to people who are workaholics to people who are just working normal jobs. I don't know anyone that gets 8 hours sleep.
It's funny, isn't it? I don't know if you heard that there's this best-selling book on Amazon.com, very small publisher. I can't say the full title on the air. It looks like a book for kids. But it's for adults, for parents specifically. The title is Go the Blank to Sleep. And it's this guy who's a dad, and he just has had so much trouble getting his child. He loves his child, but he's had so much trouble getting his child to go to sleep that he created this book for other parents about what you do to get your kid to go to blank to sleep. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why people perhaps don't get as much sleep as they need. You know, we're overworked. We have kids. That's a big thing, you know, babies. The other thing is technology can really wreak havoc in your life and keep you from going to sleep because you stay up too late surfing the web or watching movies because you can watch any movie you want on demand. Here's kind of an interesting piece of research that really ought to scare people. I think it's a very effective. Penn State did a study last year, and they found that people who sleep 6 hours a night or less are four times more likely to die of any cause than people who sleep longer.
Really?
So, I mean, clearly, if you're 24, your odds aren't increasing that much. But as you age, your odds are increasingly. And the reality is, what we can learn from this is that sleep is really important. And I think if most of us look at our lives today, we realize, oh, I really am making it hard for my body to get all the sleep that it needs.
Yeah.
Myself included, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's true. You know, I have this thing, and I'm sure other people – by the way, your story is called The Sleep Snatchers. I love that title. And here's the thing. I know that what people think in their mind is, okay, I have to power through these presentations or be with the kids and do this and that and whatever, and I'll catch up on the sleep. But here's the thing. It doesn't work. We're not like bears. You can't hibernate for a weekend and catch, right? You can. That's not going to help your health.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you just have to do that. I think the problem is when you begin to do that or you continue to do that as just your lifestyle, becomes your habit to be constantly sleep deprived. We've written about this in Men's Health so many times. I mean, and you can talk to people who know they don't get enough sleep, myself sometimes included. I mean, it's one of the occupational hazards of writing for a living. You know, often that writing happens in the middle of the night. I know sometimes I'm literally doing something and have these micro moments where I fall asleep because I am sleep deprived. And I've really worked hard over the last few years to change that because I began to realize that or fear that that was going to have a long-term impact on the rest of my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can relate. Absolutely. You say in your piece, you talk about three questions that you have to ask yourself. What are the three questions?
Well, here are some tips that we think you can use to help yourself. Tip number one is just begin to look at the things that are keeping you awake. For instance, here's a big one for people right now, money. And this is a really, it's an ironic kind of thing. But if you're worried about money, you lay awake and you're not getting enough sleep, so you're not doing a good job at work or you're not doing a good job at the job interviews you're doing, which just makes the worries worse, which makes you lose more sleep. It's a vicious cycle. So you really have to do something to break that cycle that revolves around worry. Now, we offer some real common sense stuff here. One, you'll laugh, but in all seriousness, this can really help if you lay in bed at night and you can't get to sleep. Try something as silly as counting sheep. I know it sounds absurd, but the point is just to get your mind off your troubles onto something else that's not going to bother you, unless you're afraid of sheep, so that you can drift off to sleep. Another thing, this sounds really interesting and unusual, but we actually encourage people to get up and don't turn on the TV. There's a danger in that. But go to your computer and watch a couple of short, funny YouTube videos. Why YouTube videos? Because they're short. So you can watch a couple. They're 3 or 4 or 5 minutes long. And in 15 minutes, hopefully it's helped you become drowsy enough that you want to go back to sleep. Whereas if you turn on a movie or a show, you're going to stay up and watch the end of it. And I can say from experience, 1 o'clock turns into 3 o'clock. And then you're sitting there going, well, I have to get up in 3 hours. Do I bother going to sleep at all? So yeah. YouTube can be very useful that way. And a third thing I will mention, and a lot of people will delight in this, even though it's obvious, you know, if you can catch what we call some intimate time with your partner, I can tell you as a guy, that is often a great way to help me go to sleep.
I bet. Of course, because you don't have to cuddle. You just fall asleep afterwards.
I can fall asleep while cuddling.
I'm going to send this little piece to your wife. I want her to hear this. Hey, and speaking of partners, one thing that you do talk about is what if you sleep with somebody who snores? My wonderful, handsome husband has that problem, and that can keep me awake.
Well, this is a real problem, and, you know, yeah, you have to approach this in a very mature way. Now, years before we did this story, my wife and I got married 16 years ago. Because I write for a living, I sometimes keep very unusual hours. And I told her before we got married, I said, you know what? There's going to be times during our marriage when I sleep on the couch. It doesn't mean anything unless I tell you it means something. And I encourage that for all couples where one of the partners snores, tosses and turns, has a real hot body, whatever it is. If your spouse or your partner is keeping you from getting a good night's sleep, we encourage you to take prearranged, pre-discussed sleep vacations. Maybe you say that every other night you sleep in the guest room or on the couch. It's not about having a fight. It's about, this is really important for my health, and you deserve to have a good night's sleep, and you need it.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to right now also take a snippet of what you just said and play this back to him. That's perfect.
I'm glad we could be so useful.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, how about this is another deal. This isn't a problem I have, but I know there are a lot of people that deal with this. What about that crazy heartburn that people get where they just can't even lay flat? It's terrible.
It's a huge problem. And you know how you know it's a huge problem? Watch the ads on TV at night. They're all for heartburn medicines, right? So there's a couple things you can do here. One is you can use what's called a sleeping wedge, and it elevates your head a few inches above the rest of your body. That can help. The other thing is, and I don't know if people know this, if you're going to sleep on your side, sleep on your left side, not your right side, because when you lay on your right side, the muscle between your stomach and your esophagus may stay open a little longer, and that lets the acid keep flowing freely. That's exactly what you want to prevent. So lay on your left side. You may have to adjust which side of the bed you lay on to do that, but you actually want to make that a habit or get a sleeping wedge, and that may really be helpful for you.
Oh, that's a great tip. What I'm wondering is yawning contagious? When you have, why is it when somebody – it's like I'm in the mini studio, and I have guys, wonderful guys, Donovan and Matt Johnson, who are back in Minneapolis where the network is. And if somebody catches the yawn, some one of us catches the yawn bug, the other person yawns, and we're not even face-to-face with each other.
You know, it's funny you say that. I don't have a definitive scientific answer for you, but I will tell you something anecdotal that makes me believe that there is something about yawning that triggers something in another person's mind. When our dog yawns, I yawn. Now, I haven't taken the time to notice if when I yawn, he yawns. I'll have to watch that next. But, I mean, I think anecdotally it's pretty clear that when someone yawns, someone else yawns. I can't explain why it happens, but I'll bet if we did a little research, we could. And I'd actually bet that if I had thought of it, we've probably written about that in the past.
There you go. What about the phone thing? Because, you know, there's a lot of people. I was reading something about the iPhone deal where people leave the phone so close to their bed that it flashes, you know, when you get texts and stuff, and that is not good for them to have that.
Well,
there's
a couple of things. You know, we did a story a few years ago. I think we actually included a survey where we found out that a lot of people were falling asleep with their phone on the pillow next to their head. Look, the whole cell phone debate about radiation, I don't know if cell phone radiation is dangerous or not. But the reality is there's some doubt about it. So why on earth would you want to fall asleep with the thing next to your head all night long? But you're making a bigger point, which is, does having it on the nightstand next to you make it harder to get sleep?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. A lot of people, the last thing they do is they check their email or their text messages before they go to sleep. They wake up in the middle of the night for whatever reason. They check their email again. And you may think that that's kind of an innocuous thing, but I'm not sure it is. If someone's emailed you and you've got something that gets you mentally involved, or it's upsetting, or it's a work problem you know you're going to have to deal with in the morning, then what's just happened? You're now, instead of being in a restful place where you can continue to sleep, now your brain's engaged and you're in something completely opposite from a restful state. Maybe you even get up and go to a computer to answer that email or look at a document or something. Our advice is a couple of things. One is, you got to plug your phone in every night or you're going to have a dead battery in the morning.
Sure.
Just put the plug on the other side of the room. You come in, you plug your phone in at night, you check your email one last time. You're not going to wake up in the middle of the night, get up and walk across the room to check your email. You might if you have to use the bathroom or something. But the other thing is, we suggest even for a short time putting a password on your phone. It'll force you in the middle of the night to enter the password, and hopefully just the delay that causes will give you enough presence of mind where you'll go, oh, that's right, I'm trying to break that habit, and you'll just set the phone down and go back to bed.
Yeah, perfect advice. This is all great stuff. Greg Stebbin, Men's Health Magazine, thanks so much as always.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C? We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Bringing it all back around again, here as we head for the exits of this hour of America Tonight anyway. Really the big story of the day coming out of D.C., and one that does, you know, I keep saying this, how does it affect you? How does it affect you in your backyard, whether you're living in Florida, Illinois, Connecticut, Texas, any of those spots, Iowa, Vermont, pick a place, Michigan? Well, of course, we're concerned about the crisscross nonsense that's going on in the Middle East. When I say crisscross nonsense, you know, pick a side, pick a player, and decide what you're going to do. Israel has been the longtime ally of the United States, but they are digging their hands in the, they're digging their heels in the sand, get it, on this one. And the president really just decided he was going to blurt it out. It was almost stunning that we would go back, that the U.S. would support the 1967, go back to the Palestinian state based on borders that existed before the 1967 Middle East War. Remember, always in the past, the U.S. has unofficially backed a two-state solution, Israel, Palestinian. In that whole conflict on the borders prior to 44 years ago. That was when Israel stepped in and snatched the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, Sinai Peninsula. So this was major to come out of that speech by the Prez on Thursday, because he's the first president to formally endorse that policy. Here's a little snippet of what he had to say.
Let's get started on a conversation about territory and about security. The basis for negotiations will involve looking at that 1967 border, recognizing that conditions on the ground have changed and there are going to need to be swaps to accommodate the interests of both sides.
Okay, so you said there would need to be swaps. Israel, I understand, is just furious about what Obama said. Again, he was careful toward the tail end of the speech to reiterate support for Israel's security and endorsed negotiating positions of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government throughout. So he weaved that into the speech. He didn't totally, completely throw Israel under the bus. He just shoved them gently under a few wheels. And one of the things that Obama was pushing it in what he thinks should happen in the Middle East is the incremental handover of security responsibilities by Israel when conditions on the ground. You heard him mention the thing about on the ground, when the conditions on the ground allow it. And also was careful to say again and again, I think he said it maybe three or four times, that our commitment, the U.S. commitments to Israel's security is unshakable. And that every state has the right to self-defense and Israel has to be able to defend itself by itself, key, against any threat. I think there's going to be a lot of fallout from this. I do. But, of course, meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, it's perfect to have the speech and then have the meeting with him and the conversations that have been taking place, really, in Washington since Tuesday. But that 67 borders, that's key. Now, on Thursday, Israel announced the approval of projects to build 1,500 housing units in two areas that are outside of the 67 borders. And initially, these two projects apparently had gotten approval. So what's it about? Let me just cut through the nonsense. It's about power, position, and land. Power, position, and land. And what about Hamas in this? Hamas plays a dangerous game in the middle of all of it. Do you think Hamas isn't riddled with terrorists? Do you think Hamas has the best interests of the people on the Gaza Strip or in any of the Palestinian states in their best heart? Do you think they have them in mind as they volley back and forth in the middle of so-called can we have peace between the two? I'm going to say they're not going to recognize Israel, really. Behind closed doors, no way. And are they going to renounce terrorism? I don't think so. I don't think so. So there was, however, an announcement of an agreement between Fatah and Hamas. So there are questions for Israel. How do you negotiate with somebody who has shown that they won't recognize your right to exist? So a lot of this goes back to also who's in charge when you talk about Palestinian leaders, who's credible in the bunch. And we care about this because hostilities, suspicions, investments in the Middle East, and ultimately, you ask the question, what's in it for us? What's in it for us? And if we've invested so much time in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in the Middle East in general, we can't completely, as it's been suggested on the show by many people, forget it, screw it, turn it into glass. Areas where there's problems, where they're riddled with terrorists, get the women and children out, drop the flyers, and just bomb the crap out of it. Well, that's not happening. So we do care. We do care what's percolating, what's circulating, really, in any of the countries around the Middle East. And especially now, because in being a big chunk of NATO, look at what's happened even with Libya. But specifically in the Middle East process, I've said this before, I guarantee all of you listening to this, at some point in some social studies class, somewhere in your educational background, I don't care who the president was, they were talking about Middle East peace, Middle East peace, Middle East peace, meetings at Camp David, meetings in Washington, and it's the same old, same old. I mean, will we ever really see Middle East peace? Every president has to attempt it, but will we ever really see a solution to the battle over land and position and completely different religious beliefs? It's like the forgotten thing that's, for some reason, doesn't get talked about. A lot of this is about religion. A lot of this is about that completely. And the land grab. So now going back to 67, that's a huge thing for the president to say. I mean, it's definitely a punch in the gut. I'm sure Israel is receiving it as a big-time punch in the gut. Quickly, as we're at the top of it, I want to move to this because I made a few phone calls today talking about the floods in Mississippi. It's ugly in some spots, we know, or the Morganza Spillway, really Louisiana, running parallel to the Mississippi River, some of those small low-lying areas, some of the smaller towns. And so what's happened as a side problem to what ails the area because of the Mississippi and the water rushing through, and I never even thought about this. Someone sent me a kind of a cryptic email about it. Well, it turns out, and I'm sure now more stories are popping up about it, it turns out that by opening that spillway, the Army Corps of Engineers doing that, trying to prevent Baton Rouge and New Orleans from being clobbered, that also hundreds of oil wells are now underwater. Underwater. So what's going to happen to gasoline? If 15% of 15%, supposedly that kind of ballpark number, of the refining capacity and hundreds of oil wells are at risk with the flood crest along the Mississippi as it's going through Louisiana in the next couple of days, what do you think that's going to do to gasoline prices? We were talking about bike to work, that Friday was bike to work day. You might want to check your gears and dust off that bike. Seriously. We hit $5 and $6. People will go crazy in this country.